Flattener number 7. Supply chaining. Eating sushi in Arkansas. I had never seen what a supply chain looked like in action until I visited Walmart headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas. My Walmart hosts took me over to the 1.2 million square foot distribution center where we climbed up to a viewing perch and watched the show. On one side of the building, scores of white Walmart trailer trucks were dropping off boxes of merchandise from thousands of different suppliers. Boxes large and small were fed up a conveyor belt at each loading dock. These little conveyor belts fed into a bigger belt, like streams feeding into a powerful river. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the suppliers' trucks feed the 12 miles of conveyor streams. And the conveyor streams feed into a huge Walmart river of boxed products. But that is just half the show. As the Walmart river flows along, an electric eye reads the barcodes on each box on its way to the other side of the building. There, the river parts again into 100 streams. Electric arms from each stream reach out and guide the boxes, ordered by particular Walmart stores, off the main river and down its stream, where another conveyor belt sweeps them into a waiting Walmart truck, which will rush these particular products onto the shelves of a particular Walmart store somewhere in the country. There, a consumer will lift one of these products off the shelf, and the cashier will scan it in, and the moment that happens, a signal will be generated. That signal will go out across the Walmart network to the supplier of that product, whether that supplier's factory is in coastal China or coastal Maine. That signal will pop up on the supplier's computer screen and prompt him to make another of that item and ship it via the Walmart supply chain, and the whole cycle will start anew. Walmart's ability to bring off this symphony on a global scale, moving 2.3 billion general merchandise cartons a year down its supply chain into its stores, has made it the most important example of the next great flattener I want to discuss, which I call supply chaining. Supply chaining is a method of collaborating horizontally among suppliers, retailers, and customers to create value. Supply chaining is both enabled by the flattening of the world and a hugely important flattener itself, because the more these supply chains grow and proliferate, the more they force the adoption of common standards between companies so that every link of every supply chain can interface with the next. The more they eliminate points of friction at borders, the more the efficiencies of one company get adopted by others, and the more they encourage global collaboration. As consumers, we love supply chains because they deliver us all sorts of goods, from tennis shoes to laptop computers, at lower and lower prices. That is how Walmart became the world's biggest retailer. But as workers, we are sometimes ambivalent or hostile to these supply chains because they expose us to higher and higher pressures to compete, cut costs, and also, at times, cut wages and benefits. That is how Walmart became one of the world's most controversial companies. In pursuit of the world's most efficient supply chain, Walmart has piled up a list of business offenses over the years that has given the company several deserved black eyes and that it is belatedly starting to address in a meaningful way. But its role as one of the 10 forces that flattened the world is undeniable, and it was to get a handle on this that I decided to make my own pilgrimage to Bentonville. I don't know why, but on the flight in from LaGuardia, I was thinking, boy, I would really like some sushi tonight. But where am I going to find sushi in Northwest Arkansas? When I arrived at the Hilton near Walmart's headquarters, I was stunned to see, like a mirage, a huge Japanese steakhouse sushi restaurant right next door. The demand for sushi in Arkansas is not an accident. It has to do with the fact that all around Walmart's offices, vendors have set up their own operations to be close to the mothership. Indeed, the area is known as Vendorville. The amazing thing about Walmart's headquarters is that it is so, well, Walmart. The corporate offices are crammed into a reconfigured warehouse. The company is definitely not wasting your money on frills. Walmart became the biggest retailer in the world because it drove a hard bargain with everyone it came in contact with. But make no mistake about one thing. Walmart also became number one because this little hick company from Northwest Arkansas was smarter and faster about adopting new technology than any of its competitors. And it still is. David Glass, the company's CEO from 1988 to 2000, oversaw many of the innovations that made Walmart the biggest and most profitable retailer on the planet. When Walmart was just getting started in northern Arkansas in the 1960s, explained Glass, it wanted to be a discounter. But in those days, every five and dime got its goods from the same wholesalers, so there was no way to get an edge on your competitors. The only way Walmart could see to get an edge, he said, was for it to buy its goods in volume directly from the manufacturers. But it wasn't efficient for manufacturers to ship to multiple Walmart stores spread all over, so Walmart set up a distribution center to which all the manufacturers could ship their merchandise. And then Walmart got its own trucks to distribute these goods itself to its stores. Walmart focused relentlessly on three things. The first was working with the manufacturers to get them to cut their costs as much as possible. The second was working on its supply chain from those manufacturers, wherever they were in the world, to Walmart's distribution centers to make it as low cost and frictionless as possible. The third was constantly improving Walmart's information systems so it knew exactly what its customers were buying and could feed that information to all the manufacturers so the shelves would always be stocked with the right items at the right time. Walmart quickly realized that if it could save money by buying directly from the manufacturers, by constantly innovating to cut the cost of running its supply chain, and by keeping its inventories low by learning more about its customers, it could beat its competitors on price every time. Sitting in Bentonville, Arkansas, it didn't have much choice.